get him not. He needs to serve his time. He committed a crime. He could have killed somebody. And if we weren't in that truck, if we were in a regular vehicle, we would have seriously been hurt.
And as of this day, you're still feeling pain from it, correct?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Has anybody on the prosecution side of things contacted you as a witness about this trial that's coming up on the 27th of February?
No, I had no... No, not at all. I didn't even know that it was taking place.
So nobody from the DA's office has contacted you to even say how are you or what happened or if you're a witness and you're the person that was hit by the... You were driving. You were the one in the driver's seat. Oh, I'm sorry. You were a passenger in the car that got hit by Mr. Davis, correct?
Correct. And I gave my information to the police, the officers. It was my vehicle, so they took down all my information, even though I was the passenger. Okay. I did not know. He told us he was in the military. He's from Virginia. My assumption was that the military was going to come pick him up, take him back to Virginia, and...
So the person that hit your vehicle, and you own the vehicle, correct? Okay. And Mr. Davis is the one that hit you. He told you that he was in the military and he was from Virginia and they were going to... Continue, tell me what he said.
He told the officers that he was in the military, that he was visiting out here, that he was from Virginia, and that he was headed back to where he was staying, which was on Manal.
All right. I'm going to switch gears now and I'm going to talk to Dwayne, your husband, correct?
Correct.
All right, sir. Again, just tell me your name.
Dwayne Gordon.
Now, this night, you remember this same night, Dwayne?
Yes.
And where were you in proximity to this whole event that was going on, and in what vehicle were you in?
I was driving in my friend's car in front of my Expedition.
Okay, which is what
Amy
was in, correct?
Yes.
So you're car number one at the red light, she's car number two at the red light?
The police car in front of us, and then we're number two, and then the Expedition was number three.
Okay. Police service aid was number one. You're number two, and your wife's car is number three, and that's the one she was the passenger in.
Yes, that's correct.
So what do you remember about this night?
Just remember hearing a loud bang. He got out of the car, and he was underneath the car trying to back up out of it.
Oh, you mean the driver Mr. Davis. He was underneath the car trying to get out of it.
Yeah, he was trying to back his car out from underneath my Expedition.
Okay.
Trying to get out of it before the cops got there.
Did you hear him say anything, and did you hear his speech or anything like that?
I can hear he's slurred. The speech was very slurred. He just leaning up against his car just for stability.
Okay, so he was using his car to be able to stand up straight and not fall down. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So if I ask you, are you sure that he was slurring his speech and it wasn't just his so-called accent?
Oh, no, it was alcohol. You can tell he was very slurred. There's no accent.
Okay. Did he say anything personally to you during this time?
He's saying that he must have stopped short, which if he stopped short, he would have never hit the vehicle.
Okay. So did you hear him accuse the driver in front of him of that it was their fault or anything like that?
No, he just kept trying to say that he said that he was sorry. He kept apologizing to us, saying that he was sorry, that there was no need for the police to come or anything like that. But the police had already shown up. They were right behind him when it happened.
Okay, I would like you to expand a little bit about what he was saying about he didn't want the police to come.
Yeah, because there was no injuries to my vehicle, so he didn't need to call his insurance or nothing like that. It was just on his, and he said he'd take care of it himself.
Okay, so, and what did you take that to mean, that he would take care of it himself?
By paying for his own damages to his car and trying to avoid being arrested by the cops for being drunk.
Okay, so he's, just to reiterate and to be very clear here, he wanted the cops not to be called, is that correct?
That's correct.
But there were already police present, correct?
Yes, they were already there because of how bad the weather was. They were going down on Broadway already because all the lights that were out. Okay. And they were patrolling up and down, and they saw it and turned around and came right back to the accident.
Okay, so this is very interesting. Has anybody from the DA's office ever contacted you and asked you any questions about this situation?
Nobody has at all.
How do you feel about that?
It's ridiculous that nobody's called to care or see what's going on or to let us inform us on how things are going.
And how do you feel about number one, a person that turned out to be drunk hitting the car behind you, which happens to be owned by your wife. And how do you feel about the district attorney in Valencia County wanting to just go ahead and plead this thing down from aggravated DWI to first offense DWI and more or less kind of make it go away?
That's ridiculous. It needs to be handled in the highest penalty that he can serve for being drunk. There's no reason to be out there drinking and driving.
Okay, and now, and since this time, that was back in July, and this is February. It's been 6, going on 7 months or so, and you've noticed that Amy has had some pain. Tell me a little bit about that since all this. About her back.
She's had a lot of back injury, back pain, locking up on her, not being able to function or even leave the house, get up off the couch for that matter. She has to stay home and just,
I don't know. Have you been contacted by the DWI driver's insurance company at all, or do you even know who they are?
I have no clue who they even are. Haven't heard anybody.
Okay. Have you asked any, would you like to have that information?
Yeah. It'd be very interesting.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to add to this? I would like to ask you about how do you feel about the laws in New Mexico concerning DWI? Do you think they're too lenient?
They're very lenient. They don't. It's like they don't even care. It's like they have no consequences for drinking and driving.
And you do live in Valencia County, right?
Yes, we do.
And you just recently, within the past month, just had a very severe, tragic DWI fatality, correct?
That's correct.
So everybody down there knows about this, right?
Yeah, because even the daughter, the girl that the dad was killed, goes to the school, and my daughters know them.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything else to add?
No.
And Amy, do you have anything else to add before we close the interview here?
I'd just like to say that if this guy ends up walking, that it's just proving to me that the system is corrupt. And I've lived in Valencia County now for 13, going on 14 years. It's a very small community. I can't believe that this would even, I'm speechless.
I want to ask you one question about something that Dwayne brought up. Did you hear Mr. Davis say, there's no need to call the police?
I did not hear him say that. Dwayne was out of the vehicle and back behind the truck before I could even get out and get back there.
All right, very good. And one final question, you haven't been contacted by his insurance company, the Mr. Davis's insurance company. Do you even know who his insurance company is?
No, I have not been contacted by anybody. I didn't even know what his name was.
Okay. And would you like to have that information?
Yes, I would.
All right. Nothing else to add?
No.
All right. Very good. This is Jim Speary with Amy and Dwayne Gordon on February 26, 2014 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it's about 12:15 in the afternoon.